From the University of Texas at Austin, KUT Radio, this is In Black America.
When you're blessed with the success that I've had in different genres, music, TV, ministry, sports, aviation, I'm a pilot, you know, you always get stopped. And they're asked, you know, give me a tip. How can I be successful in this area? So I just started documenting my responses and got approached by a book publisher to put those responses into the form of something that would help people. You know, and we've all been driving. The reason I call it Full Tank Life, you know, we've all been driving and the low fuel light came on. We know how that is. That ride changes when the low fuel light comes on. And I separated into three people. The A group are the people that speed up because they want to hurry up and get where they're going before they run out of gas. And then the B group, they slow down because they figure that'll stretch the gas. I'm more part of the C group. The C group pulls over and gets some more fuel.
Ben Tankard, pastor, pilot, motivational speaker, best-selling gospel jazz musician, reality TV star, and author of The Full Tank Life, Fuel Your Dreams, Ignite Your Destiny, published by Faith Words. Tanker has a lot of experience with both success and failure. He has learned that our greatest opportunities often come from our greatest disappointments. Today, he is doing what he was born to do, and he knows it didn't happen by accident. He encouraged readers to examine seven key elements: dreams, environment, subconscious, time, inspiration, network, and you. Sharing his life-tested secrets to help readers find their own destiny, including fresh insight on familiar Bible passages, wisdom from his own setbacks, and laugh-out-loud stories, he showed readers that they too can have a full tank life. I'm Johnny O. Hanson, Jr., and welcome to another edition of In Black America. On this week's program, The Full Tank Life with author Ben Tankard, In Black America.
Ask me all the time, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what my destiny is. How can I find out? I can show you how to find your destiny and your purpose in 10 seconds or less. First of all, you open your left hand and you look in your hand and you picture in your left hand everything that makes you tick, those things you like to do. What do you lose time and lose track of doing when you're doing it? You know, I can sit down to a keyboard and after 10 hours, I'm like, man, I didn't even feel like I was here. Music and motivation, talking to people. I can do interviews like this all day and lose track of time. You yourself, you know, you can interview. It's not work for you. It just comes, it's just inside of you. So when you look in your left hand, find out what makes you tick, what you love to do. And then if you look in your right hand, put in your right hand mentally those things that make you ticked. What makes you mad? What makes you angry? What ticks you off? You know, if you're angered by clutter, you might be called to be the owner of a commercial custodial company. Mm-hmm. If you're angered by abuse, you might be the one to have a shelter for women.
Ben Tankard is one of the most influential musicians of our time. Few people can be considered the creator or pioneer of a genre, but Tankard single-handedly introduced jazz-flavored melodies to the gospel music arena in 1990, and the instrumental music world has never been the same. He is considered the godfather of gospel jazz. Born on January 10, 1964 in Daytona Beach, Florida, Tankard is a former professional basketball player. Currently, He is a gospel jazz keyboardist, producer, songwriter, motivational speaker, reality TV star, and author. In his new book entitled The Full Tank Life, this modern-day Renaissance man offers powerful motivation and practical tools to empower readers to find their destiny and create an action plan to unlock it. He says there are 7 key elements to achieve your destiny: dreams, environment, subconscious, time, inspiration, network, and you. Recently, In Black America spoke with Ben Tankard. I wanted to at least make this note to my listeners that Ben is my second cousin, so if we get kind of personal during this conversation, that is why.
Don't throw me under the bus with all that stuff. You can blackmail with me either.
For Ben, it's been a while since we last spoke. We spoke when you were at, I think, MegaFest in Dallas a couple of years ago. For those who haven't listened or heard those interviews, tell us a little background about yourself. Where were you born and raised?
Well, I was born in Daytona Beach, Florida. Came up in poverty there, 6'6" by the time I was in the sixth grade. So that led me to play basketball. But I also had a music gift to play tuba. And so when I got ready to leave high school, I had 30 scholarship offers for band and 30 for basketball. And my folks said, you know something? We black, you're tall, we're poor, so play ball. So I took the basketball scholarship just in an effort to chase the money, you know, to try to go pro and come back and get my family out the hood. And I did make it to the NBA, but I got injured my first year. And that's when my story really starts. The depression from getting cut really forced me to go to church. And I accepted God. I discovered this gift to play piano. And I've been doing it for 25 years, John, 25 years of, I call it gospel jazz. It's instrumental, inspirational music, and it's played on gospel stations and jazz stations. And I've done pretty good, man. Got several Grammy and Stellar and Dove Award nominations and awards, and several gold and platinum records. So I think that's what I was supposed to have been doing the whole time, but I was chasing the basketball.
I understand. How did you all get hooked up with NBC Bravo to do the reality program, Thicker Than Water?
Well, you know, I have a great family, a blended family, wife, 5 kids, a couple daughter-in-laws, a couple grandkids, and we live in a big house in Tennessee. They don't all live here, but when they come over, I take my iPhone and record all the shenanigans. Mm-hmm. So I started putting those shenanigans on YouTube, and my daughter, Brooklyn, put all those clips together and started sending it out, and next thing I know, NBC is knocking on the door saying, you guys are the next Cosby-type reality family we're looking for. We're looking for a family of color that's wealthy but got some issues. Mm. I say, well, that's us. Because we all got some issues, don't we, John?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Is it difficult to just go about your daily life with the cameras rolling? Or
do it
you, is it in the back of your mind that there are cameras with us, so there's certain things we should do or not do or say or not say?
Well, you know, it is difficult at first, but like anything, the more you do it, the more you get used to it. It's kind of like wearing glasses. When you first put them on in the morning, you know they're there, but by the end of the day, you don't notice them. You know, if I were to bring some cameras to your house, you know, hang out with you and your family, the first half a day would be all acting because you know I'm there. You know, hi, John, good morning. I love you so much, sweetheart. Everybody's perfect. But by that 16th hour,
right. You're
like, sit your behind down somewhere. Bring you some water. What's wrong with your feet? That's why they shoot so long, because they want to get to the real you. They shoot 100 hours for a one-hour show, man.
I imagine they do. Mm-hmm. You write in the book, you're not a psychologist or a psychiatrist, but you have some interesting information and tidbits. What led you to write this book, The Full Tank Life?
Because, you know, when you're blessed with the success that I've had in different genres, music, TV, ministry, sports, aviation, I'm a pilot, you know, you always get stopped. And asked, you know, give me a tip. How can I be successful in this area? So I just started documenting my responses. And got approached by a book publisher to put those responses into the form of something that would help people. You know, and we've all been driving. The reason I call it Full Tank Life is, we've all been driving, and the low fuel light came on. We know how that is. That ride changes mm-hmm. when the low fuel light comes on. And I separated into three people. The A group are the people that speed up because they want to hurry up and get where they're going before they run out of gas. And then the B group, they slow down because they figure that'll stretch the gas. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm more part of the C group. The C group pulls over and gets some more fuel.
Right. Ben, when you sat down to put your thoughts on paper, obviously Destiny is the name of your church, so I guess that was just one part of the process that you didn't have to deal with.
Yeah, it was close to my heart because when I first started playing, that's what the minister said, you know, sit down to the piano, man. I know you want to play basketball, but I think there's another destiny that God has for you. And so that when I started my church, I called it the Destiny Center. When I wrote the book, I look at destiny as an acronym, D-E-S-T-I-N-Y, which stands for dreams, your environment, your subconscious, time, your inspiration, your network, and yours, you know, your dream, your life, you know. So each chapter deals with a separate letter of the word destiny.
Let's go through. We can't go through the whole book, but it's interesting. We're going to go through some of the points that you bring out in your book. You say that when you were up against the wall after the NBA thing didn't work out, and then you ended up going to this revival, and then as you stated prior to a few minutes ago, that you ended up sitting down at the piano where you had never played the piano. When you say that we need to understand what our true destiny is and not what we think our destiny is, but understanding that inner voice that God is trying to direct us somewhere, and sometimes we're stubborn to the point where, as you said, you was more about going to get the money other than having the joy of playing basketball.
Exactly, exactly. And people ask me all the time, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what my destiny is. How can I find out? I can show you how to find your destiny and your purpose in 10 seconds or less. First of all, you open your left hand, and you look in your hand, and you picture in your left hand everything that makes you tick, mm-hmm. those things you like to do. What do you lose time and lose track of doing when you're doing it? You know, I can sit down to a keyboard, and after 10 hours, I'm like, man, I didn't even feel like I was here. That makes me music and motivation, talking to people. I can do interviews like this all day. And lose track of time. You yourself, you know, you can interview. It's not work for you. It just comes, it's just inside of you. So when you look in your left hand, find out what makes you tick, what you love to do. And then if you look in your right hand, put in your right hand mentally those things that make you ticked. What makes you mad? What makes you angry? What ticks you off? You know, if you're angered by clutter, you might be called to be the owner of a commercial custodial company. Mm-hmm. If you're angered by abuse, you might be the one to have a shelter for women. You know, I because I came up in poverty, I cannot stand hunger. And so in my left hand, I'm motivated by music and motivation. In my right hand, I can't stand poverty. So if you slap your hands together, right there in the middle of what makes you tick and what makes you ticked usually is what your purpose and destiny is.
You also talk about actually writing down your dreams.
A short pencil is far more powerful than a long memory. And I encourage people to put a pad by their bed and label it at the top, the bedside millionaire. Because I think that's where the richest ideas come mm-hmm. when your defenses are down. Early in the morning when you're just getting up, I think that's when you hear more clearly and you get those great ideas when you're halfway between a slumber. You just have to have discipline to write these things down so you won't forget them. We've all had billion-dollar ideas that we did not write down at that time, John. And then, you know, 6 weeks later or 6 months later, we see an infomercial on TV and say, oh, man, that's my idea. Well, they didn't steal your idea. You released it back into the atmosphere and they snatched it because they did write it down.
How did you come up with the Binspirationals?
It's a play on my name, Binspired, Binspirations. One of the things I put in the book is, you know, that I believe that successful people do things that unsuccessful people won't do before 8 or 9 in the morning. So I got this thing that I call Self-Align by 7:59. I studied successful people, and the thing, even though they're in different genres, the things that they have in common is that they accomplish more early and they grab their day. So here goes. First thing you're going to do is you're going to get up and you're going to pray and praise. Get up and just be thankful that you got up. Don't spend the first part of your day on the internet. Don't begin your day with social media. Do not wake up with your phone, looking at your phone, going through Instagram, social media stuff. Don't start the day like that, because if you do, you start your day at somebody else's tempo,
mm-hmm.
and it'll get away from you. Secondly, you want to exercise and eat. You want to fuel your body. Your car won't go without gas. Your body won't go without food and fuel. That's exercise and nourishment. Then you want to sit in a corner and you want to read and reflect. That's without social media. You're reading a book, something that's going to feed your mind. And then lastly, you dream and direct. That's where you actually write out your goals for the day, the week, the month, the year. I call it the high five of goal setting. If I was having lunch with you, John, I would ask you that in 5 minutes, you should be able to tell me what you believe is going to be happening in your life in the next 5 minutes, the next 5 hours, the next 5 days, weeks, months, and years. That's the high five of goal setting. If you don't know, then who else is going to know? You have to control your vision by writing it down. And you do all this by 7:59. Self-align by 7:59.
I found it interesting in your futures listening, and you say destiny is a personal journey, not a destination.
Absolutely. It's more about enjoying the ride to grandma's house than just the pound cake once you get there.
Right.
Even though the pound cake is good. Now,
how did you and Jewel come together?
Man, I was divorced. She was divorced. We were unhappy, but trying to pretend we were happy. And I was on the road doing a concert tour, and she was in Detroit coming to a Ben Tanker concert just to kind of relax from a week of work. And her aunt talked her into going to a Ben Tanker jazz concert. And my eyes met her eyes. She was on the second row. And I said, the Lord is my shepherd. I see what I want. And I went up to her. You know this story. I went up to her afterwards and said, you're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life. I believe you're supposed to be my wife. And she said, amen, brother. And 9 months later, we was married.
I understand. If you're just joining us, I'm Johnny O. Hanson, Jr., and you're listening to In Black America from KUT Radio. And I'm speaking with Ben Tankard, pastor, motivational speaker, best-selling gospel jazz musician, reality TV star, and author of The Full Tank Life, Fuel Your Dreams, Ignite Your Destiny. Ben, you talk about the success that you have in the music industry, but before you got to that success, you took on a part-time job to keep eating.
Oh, yeah. And many people laugh when I say this, but before I was a musician, man, I was a dog catcher.
Right.
With a jerry curl. In the late 80s, I also tried my hand at being a private detective, because the year I was in college, I was taking up law enforcement and investigation. Man, that didn't turn out well. You know, in Florida, you can't have a 6'6" black man following a white woman hoping to find her in an affair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that didn't go well.
Right.
And so I had an opportunity to go into a music store where I was a dog catcher and start messing with the keyboards and stuff, and the guy hired me to be a keyboard demonstrator. So that was my first music job.
also understand you did some work for the Weather Channel.
Yeah, a lot of my songs are played as the music beds for the Weather Channel on the 8th.
On the 8th. Was it just by happenstance you came up with this new genre, gospel, jazz?
Yeah, you know, over the years, there have been jazz artists that would dedicate one gospel song on their record as a Christian song.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were Christian artists that would maybe sing one jazz song on their record. But I was the first one that combined the two styles on all 10 songs and called it a gospel jazz album. So that's why they call me the godfather of gospel jazz, because I was the one that dedicated my entire career to this collaboration of two styles as opposed to just a one-off.
You write in the book about knowing your lane as it relates to your musical career, because you've had other people come to you asking you to produce them. But also you've had opportunities to travel abroad to minister to other people, and you've stated that that's not my calling. It takes me away from what I am really, my purpose is. Why is that important to understand what your lane is?
I think that's where your success is. That's where your synergy is. That's where your power is when you decide and you figure out what it is that you do the best at with the least amount of effort.
Because
you can end up being, though I believe that we're gifted to do several things, we have to find that one core thing and do it well and let the other things be streams rather than several rivers. You know, I call it the power of no. There's a power in being, especially as you get more successful, John, people start pulling on you, you know, and you know, even as a reality co-star, because you're on TV, people come to you and start saying, I want you to sell this, I want you to sell that. You know, you have to make sure that whatever you decide to be a pitch man for, that you really believe in it. You know, I ain't selling no gospel underwear.
Right.
You know, if you're a product of the product, something that you would use anyway, then you're a better pitch man than just doing something just for money. Money's important, but you got to make sure that you don't put it first.
How do you go about handling one of success and then going to the award shows, the Stella and the other awards that you have gone in, the Grammys and what have you?
I'm just honored to be nominated. You know, I've been a winner several times, and I tell people all the time that you know most of the time we tweet the victories,
right?
We don't tweet the failures. Mm-hmm. You know, so there have been 30 to 40 songs that I've had that has charted on the radio that have hit the top 10, but I don't talk about the 300 that didn't chart.
Exactly.
You know, I've had 20 records, John? 25 records, and there's 10 songs on each record. That's 250 songs.
Right.
So you can't remember all 250 songs Ben Tanger did, because they didn't all get played. You can name on one, you know, I'm known by, or you can look at your hand and name 5 or 10 Ben Tanger songs. But, you know, my point is, don't be afraid of failure. The more you fail, the more you'll find out what you're successful at. You just got to keep it going. They say that 8 out of 10 businesses fail. So if you started a business and it failed, then understand that you only have to fail 7 more times before you're successful. Stay in the game.
Ben Tankard, pastor, pilot, motivational speaker, best-selling gospel jazz musician, reality TV star, and author of The Full Tank Life. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions as to future In Black America programs, email us at inblackamerica@kut.org. Also, let us know what radio station you heard us over. Remember to like us on Facebook and to follow us on Twitter. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or of the University of Texas at Austin. You can hear previous programs online at kut.org. Until we have the opportunity again for technical producer David Alvarez, I'm Johnny O'Hanson Jr. Thank you for joining us today. Please join us again next week.
CD copies of this program are available and may be purchased by writing In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 1 University Station, Austin, Texas, 78712. That's In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 1 University Station, Austin, Texas, 78712. This has been a production of KUT Radio.